All right, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Can you please give a high five to the person seated to your left for a while? Tell that person, I'm so glad I am here this very morning. Come on. Now we can say it's a wonderful Sunday today. We are now down to the sixth installment of our series called All and Nothing, okay? Can I see a show of hands for a while? If you have been with us the past, you know, six Sundays, including today, can I see your hand for a while? Come on. All right. Now, like what I said last week, it's always good for you to visit our website, to listen to our podcast. If you were absent in any of those installments that we had the past 6 weeks, simply because this series is a book study. We're actually ending this next week. Not like many of our other series, this is a book study on the book of Colossians. So the reason why I'm asking everyone to revisit the others is simply because one installment basically leads to the other. All right, so to a certain degree, you might have a difficult time understanding what we might be talking about now, okay, if you don't have a good foundation of what we've talked about the past five Sundays, okay? But this morning, we're gonna talk about the practical application. I told you last week that, you know what, this might sound a little prescriptive, right? So that's why what we've talked about last week is putting off the earthly nature, which is in us, okay? And then this morning, we're gonna shift gear to talk about another practical things at which, you know, the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ should apply in our lives. Okay? Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 down to verse 25. Then we'll jump to chapter 4, verse 1. Look at this one. It says, "Your wives, submit your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bond servants," okay, in our modern day, "employees, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality." Last verse. "Masters, treat your bond servants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Just to put everyone on the same page, we're talking about the book of Colossians. And like what we said last time, you know, Colossae is an important place in a region called Asia Minor. Okay, if you would make this now, or if you're going to Google this, okay, Asia Minor is now what we call Turkey. So, you know, Colossae, like what I mentioned last time, it has sister cities like Hierapolis and Laodicea. So these three cities are very important simply because this is a place where the East and the West actually converge. Okay, because the East and the West converge in the city of Colossae, we said that, you know what, people bring with them different kinds of worldviews. The sad reality that happened in the church in Colossae was, you know, the Colossian church was filled with heresy simply because, you know, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ just like many of us. Okay, they love the Lord Jesus Christ just like many of us. The problem was that instead of allowing the biblical worldview to penetrate the city, it's actually the worldviews of the different people bringing to the church that has actually crippled the church. Okay, so that was the problem, and it was called the Colossian heresy. And that is the precise reason why Paul wrote a letter to the church in Colossae. He was never in Colossae. He didn't plant the church in Colossae. He just heard about it. Okay, one of the guys that he discipled in Ephesus, okay, by the name of Epaphras, was actually the one who planted the church in Colossae. All right, so what happened was that there were troubles that were happening. That's why he wrote the letter to address. One of you can honestly say that if there is a problem, we need to address the problem. Amen? Problems are not something that you just put under the rug. Okay, it's something that we need to deal with, especially if you're here and you are a father. Okay, even if you're a high school student, you have to learn how to contend with problems and challenges. right? Yesterday, in our Victory Weekend, one of the topics that we've talked about is spiritual error. And the Bible is very clear, the truth, okay, will set us free. Okay? But if you do not know the truth, there's no way for the truth to set you free. The reason why a lot of people are in spiritual error, just like the Colossian church, is because they do not know the truth. What am I talking about? I hope and pray that we will be a church who will not just rely to a Sunday's preaching. I hope we will be a church who will learn to dig into God's word on our own. That is our goal. To make the word of God so appealing to us that you cannot live a single day without getting into God's word. All right? So that you will not be in error for that matter. Now, on the fifth week of this series, which is last Sunday, we talked about the practical aspect of the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember, we started talking about the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week was one of the practical aspects. And if you can remember, the verse that we've read says, put off what is earthly in you. Tell the person beside you farewell, put off what is earthly in you. All right. Putting off what is earthly in you. That is what we've talked about last week. And in fact, if you were here, we've actually enumerated what are all of these things are. There were actually five of them. I hope I can remember them. Number one, it says they're put off sexual immorality. That's what we've talked about. And second one, we've talked about putting off passion or lust, okay? Putting off evil desires, for that matter. Different kinds of things that Paul was basically telling us to put off. If you try to funnel down all of those things that he said, it's actually funneled down to one thing, and these are sexual sins. The Bible is very clear, Paul is very clear, that now that we are Christians, we have to learn how to put off the old nature. Or put off what is earthly in us. Amen? Now, how does that look like? It's basically something like this. Our discussion last week revolved around the fact of what? Learning how to put off and put on. It's very simple. It's basic. It's understandable. I want us to understand that being a Christian doesn't mean automatically you cannot sin anymore. I want us to understand we have a responsibility as a Christian. Now that we understand how much Christ loves us, we need to respond to that love by putting off what is earthly in us. But take note, it didn't end with putting off. We started talking about learning to put on. If this quote right here is a representation of, let's say, Christianity. So what the Bible is basically teaching us is to put off what is earthly in us, but you cannot go on with your life without putting on something. Are folks with me? So meaning to say, I have to put on something that identifies Archie to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are folks with me? Now, what is more fascinating here is, if you would study these verses later when you go home, you would be amazed that right after talking about putting off the earthly nature, now it's putting on basically your Christianity. Now it shifts gear into talking about family. I don't know with you, but if you're someone who loves studying the Bible, you know, these are things that you have to contend with. I mean, we've been talking about the preeminence of Christ, and now you're telling me that we're shifting gear, now we're going to talk about the family. Why is that so? I want us to understand this. The very first group of people who will have a taste of your faith is the people closest to you, and that is your family. Folks, our family will validate our story. You know, it's quite fascinating that when you become a Christian, you become so passionate or radical. Amen? Do you think you're seated right next to a very radical and passionate person? Mukha bang passionate? Passionate for God's word? Yeah, there has to be some sense of radicalism in us. Okay? Because you have to understand how radical the message of the cross is. Now, if we're saying that we're a group of people who are able to put off and put on, then at the end of the day, it should manifest into how we live our lives. We love preaching. Sorry to say this, sometimes we love, quote unquote, judging. Sometimes when we are in a position where you feel like, man, I am a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes you get into a point where you raise your eyebrows towards other people. Maybe some of us might go home and, you know, you're such an active member in the church. You're such a great leader in the church. But, can everybody say but? If your wife, if your husband, if your children, if your employer, if your teachers, your professors would act like this during one of your preachings. Hey, you know what? I'm an active member of the church, and then people are like that. Well, we can at least say that there's something wrong. Come on now. Folks, listen. What does your neighbor think about you? Do they ever feel your Christianity? What does your neighbor get to hear from your home? Are they hearing people worshiping God, or they're hearing people yelling at each other? The way we handle our finance, the way you conduct your life, the manner at which you excel in your campus. Will people validate our Christianity, or they're going to roll their eyes? I'm not angry at anyone, okay? I'm just telling you, something needs to be done. What good is a victory group? What good is us lifting our hands here on a given Sunday if we use the same hands to sin? What good is a preaching that doesn't hold success we have because it doesn't reflect in our very own lives? That's why Paul says we have to watch our life and our doctrine closely. They have to come together. At the end of the day, this is not God's responsibility. This is our responsibility. God will give us the grace to obey. At the end of the day, we will have to obey. It shifts gear into talking about the family. Because our family will validate our story. You know what? What I'm talking about here, this is why I'm telling you, it's really difficult to swallow this up or to digest this if you were not here the past how many Sundays. Because we discuss about this here this morning, I might sound not a little, but I might really sound prescriptive. But I want us to understand, like what we said last week, you will never understand the how unless you understand the why. We're now on the how aspect of this series, but guess what? We've laid a good foundation as to the why, because Jesus is not just prominent, He is preeminent in every area of our lives. And the aftermath of that preeminence should first and foremost reflect in the nucleus of the society, which is the family. The way we live our lives should be a preaching in itself. It's just a sad reality that sometimes we're so eloquent with prayers, but we're not eloquent when it comes to obeying our parents. Worse is sometimes we use our eloquence to argue with our parents. Come on now. Our life and our doctrine should be watched closely. Allow me to try to dissect all of this here this morning. Let me just try to give us a brief description as to why Paul started writing this. The Colossian church in Colossae was a house church. What is a house church? Let me show you a picture of Victory Tagbilaran right now. Okay, Victory Tagbilaran is, you know, meeting in a home. So it's basically a house church. They don't have this facility yet. Okay, all of us here, we come here dressed in our Sunday's attire. Okay, we sit comfortably. But You know, church plants, just like Victory Tagbilaran, is something like this. It's a house church. It's when, you know, Christians gather in one home and, you know, share the word, worship together. This is how my mom basically got saved in every nation, Brunei. Okay, she joined a house church and she listened to the preaching of the word. Another picture of a house church is our church in every nation, Pakistan. In every nation, Pakistan, that is actually a home. When we were in Pakistan, imagine this with me. Every single Sunday, they have a happy birthday cake. A birthday cake, they would put it on the table every single Sunday, kahit walang may birthday. So that when the authorities would knock, all of them will sing, happy birthday to you. So that when the police would check, why are there so many people here? Are you guys a church? We're celebrating a birthday. So this is the picture of the Colossian church. They were a house church. Now, because they were a house church, they were lounging on the sofa. The audience of Paul were families. His audience were fathers, mothers, children, the servants. They were all together. And he was talking about the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has this context. And here's the problem. During their time, the women, children, and band servants were marginalized. Meaning to say, people don't care about them. The husbands, the fathers, they are people of authority in the home. Sad to say was, they become like dictators in their home. If you're a father here, let me tell you something. You are a father, not a dictator. I hope and pray that, you know what, your kids will call you daddy and not Mr. President or something like that. That's why he needed to address this issue. That's why he wrote this letter to the book of Colossians. In fact, look at this one. In just a matter of 9 verses, Colossians chapter 3, verse 80 to 25, in just a matter of 9 verses, look at this. The word Lord, I highlighted the word Lord. Look at that one. Another one. Another one. There you go. Another one. Another one. Now, in a span of 9 verses, the word Lord was mentioned 6 times. Plus the word Master. There's something that Paul wanted them to understand. That everything that they're doing to submit or to love will have to be because Jesus is preeminent in their lives. You know what's the problem here? I don't expect too much from people to whom Jesus is not preeminent. I mean, if you don't banner Jesus as your Lord, then nothing much is expected from you. But if we say that Jesus is preeminent in our lives, then there's something that needs to change. Okay, our perspective, our attitude towards our wife. Now, let me just proceed by looking at some of these verses. Let me just say something for a while. Number one, I'm going to talk about husbands and wives and children here this morning. Here's the deal before we proceed. Do not ever use this sermon against your spouse. All right? So I don't want anyone later, you know what, nudging each other. Please don't do that. We will have to allow the Holy Spirit to do its convicting work. Amen? We will have to give room for the Holy Spirit to change us. All right? We will not change our partners. You will not change your parents. God will change them. All right? So don't ever go home later telling it, you remember what Pastor Archie said about you? So please don't do that. All right? Are we having a deal here? So I don't want my name mentioned in any of your arguments at home. All right? Now, let's look at the first one. It says here, verse 18, wives, submit your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. If you're here and you are a wife, can I see your hand for a while? You're a wife. Come on, just you're a proud wife. Come on now. There they are. Palakpak natin yung mga wives natin here in this place. Look at this one. Nothing is more controversial in the scripture than this verse. I'm not kidding. I mean, this specific text right here, this specific verse is so controversial. I mean, there's just an uproar or a protest from different groups of people about this. Much more in the Philippines because we live in a matriarchal culture. It says here, wives, submit. Can everybody say submit? Hirap sabihin ng mga wives. Submit. Simple lang po yan. Submit to your husbands. As is fitting in the Lord. Let me try to talk about this for a while. If you compare this verse 18, to verse 20 and verse 22, look at this one. Verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Verse 22 says, bond servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. I want you to understand that wives are to submit, children are to obey. Okay? Submission and obedience are two different things. I hope and pray that husbands will not write down this verse and put it on the vanity mirror of your wives. Sabi sa Bible, obey. Hindi po sabi sa Bible, obey. Ang sabi po sa Bible, submit. You let your kids obey. And I want you to understand, your wife is not your child. Do minsan, mukha silang panganay mo. I remember my dad, when they were in their 40s, he was meeting some old friends. And one of his old friends went to my mom, got to know my mom. And then he told my dad, is this your firstborn? Sabi nung dad ko, parang may insulto yun ah. Children are servants, are to obey. Wives are to submit. Let me give a clear context about this. This verse applies to women who are married, not women in general. If you're here and you have a girlfriend or you have a fiancé, you don't demand your girlfriend to submit to you. Question there is, who are you? Pakita ka muna ng sing-sing, then baka mag-submit ako sa'yo. You folks catch this. The context of this basically lies in the context of marriage or marriage relationship. So wives are to submit to their husbands. Let's try to look at this for a while. The word submit here is the word hupotasso, which means what? Voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. The word submit here doesn't mean, if you're here, your wife, that you're going to have a leash on your neck and your husband will bring you anywhere he wants you to go. It basically talks about your what? Your voluntary attitude of giving in. You know what it's called? Selflessness. Cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. Let me just try to clarify something here for a while. Just because God is asking you to submit doesn't mean that you are not worthy of anything. Just because you're being asked by God to submit doesn't mean you're like a rug at home. Are folks with me? If you read the Bible, you will have to understand that men and women, husband and wife, are what? Equal in worth in the eyes of God, but you're just given different roles. So I want you to understand, this doesn't mean that you are not important to God. This doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. In fact, the next verse that we're going to read later proves how much God loves you. Because we're going to talk about your husbands. We are equal in worth, but different in roles. I like what Robert Morrison said. He basically explained what submission is. And if you're here and you're a wife, it's good for you to lock in into this for a while. Look at this one. It says here, submission carries the idea of entrusting oneself to the leadership of another to accomplish a task, all right? When a Christian woman is submitted to the Lord and to her own husband, she will experience a release and fulfillment that can come no other way. The end result will be an environment of intimacy, growth, and a ministry partnership that will make a difference in the world. Here's my question for the wives here this morning. Does your husband feel your support? Does your husband feel like whenever you eat in a restaurant, whenever they go at home coming from work, Do they feel like, man, they're being affirmed of the things that they're doing? Let me say something for about, you know, the truth is, I think husbands will have to try to really embrace the fact that truth of the matter is, just based on some talks and experiences, truth of the matter is, mas magaling talaga yung mga wives. Di ba? Mas creative sila, mas maganda yung mga ideas nila. I hope and pray that, you know what, when that happens, I hope and pray that you will not be insulted or you will not feel insecure. If you're here and you're a wife, the creativity, the knowledge, the experience that you have, I hope you're going to use all of that to all the more propel your husband, not to tear him down, but to build him up. If you're a wife, I hope and pray that you will be your husband's number one cheerleader. Seriously, my prayer for all the wives here in this church is the simple fact that your husbands will get praises from you instead of getting praises from other women or from other people. If you try to ask me as to how practical could this be, it could be as simple as cheering for your husband. I hope and pray that for the wives, you will be a group of people who will what? Who will honor and respect your husband in private and especially in public. I hope we don't go with our girlfriends or in a party and tear down our husband. Alam mo yung asawa ko, walang kwenta. Di ba rumagugas ng pinggan? Wala kami kinain kagabi. Ang asawa ko kasi tamad, nanood lang ng TV. I even pray that we'll learn to just honor and respect them. Husbands will make mistakes. Why? Because we're basically humans. Even a husband as good as Adonis will make mistakes. But I hope when your husband make a mistake, you will give them, you know, constructive criticisms. And stop comparing them to other people. Bakit hindi ka nalang maging tulad ni Kwa, ni ganito, ni Adonis? Si Adonis yun eh. Ang pinakasalan mo si Robert. Iba si Adonis kay Robert. Just learn to embrace that fact. I hope and pray that you will be people who will what? Will funnel the dream of your husbands. You know, sometimes men can become a little wild with their dreams. Gusto ko magka-franchise ng Jollibee. Minsan ganun yung mga husbands. Ambisyoso ka! I hope you don't do that. Here's another thing that's important for husbands, if I might say. Well, this is important in both aspects. Do not forget your endearment. Do not forget your endearment. Minsan kasi, sweetheart, nag-usap kayo, sweetheart, tapos nag-away kayo, hindi na sweetheart, hoy na, hoy! These things are important. My wife and I would get into a heated conversation, we remain on our endearment. If you're here and you're a husband or you're a wife, I don't know, just a practical thing. I hope you don't call each other daddy or mommy. Because that is not an endearment. That is what your child calls you. Your wife is not your kid. So why in the world is your wife calling you daddy? I'm just saying. Daddy or yes, iha? Hindi, parang it doesn't add up eh. Tama po ba ako? May difference ang daddy, mommy compared sa tawagin kang honey, sweetheart. Diba? Tweetums. Babe, pinga kong water. Next naman. Ni daddy, pinga kong tubig. Oh, sige anak. What is the reason for this submission? Why do you have to submit? It's actually there. It says here. It is fitting in the Lord. This is not about your worth, huh? If you submit, that doesn't mean something was taken out from you. If you submit, that doesn't mean your dignity is taken from you. No. It's just about understanding your role. It's just understanding your function. It is fitting to the Lord because this is how basically God designed it. And guess what? God designed for it to work. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. Let's shift gear now. Let's talk to the husbands. Parang excited yung mga wives. First and foremost, if you're here and you are a husband, if you're here and you are a man, okay, even if you're single, if you're a guy, can you please place your hand for a while? Just probably wave your hand. I just want to see how many guys we have in this room. Come on. No, look at this one. First and foremost, I really want to commend you for being here as a man. You know what? Not too many men want to be here on a given Sunday. You're here and you are a father. I commend you for listening to a young guy like me. I mean, I'm just imagining the things that you have to swallow just to be sitting there. I mean, that in itself, being here on a given Sunday is already commendable to all the guys here. Palapakan natin mga guys natin dito. People would say, you know, church is corny. I don't think so. Do you think church is corny? Siyempre, andito kayo. Here's what it says here. Look at this one. Husbands, love your wives. All the wives say, amen. Husbands, love your wives. Isn't it fascinating that Paul will have to say that when in fact it's supposed to be automatic? He was looking at the crowd. He feels like, my goodness, pambira naman itong mga guys na to. Hindi mahal yung asawa nila. That's why he needed to write it down. Husbands, love your wives. Kahit na lima na yung anak nyo, nakaduster na yung asawa mo, love your wife. And do not be what? Do not be harsh with them. Do not be rude to them. Let's look at a little etymology here, okay? Let's look at the background of a name. Look at this one. The word husband is from the Old English, from the Old Norse word called husbandi, which means master of a house or from his house, plus bandi, which means what? Occupier. Look at this one. Tiller of the soil. Then it says here, the original sense of the verb was to till or cultivate. I'm going to explain it in a while. You know, I've encountered this how many times on paper, on the internet, or when I'm driving. There's something that's called animal husbandry. And I keep thinking, what in the world is that? Animal husbandry? You're going to look for a husband for an animal or what? I don't know if you've ever encountered that, okay, if you're inclined to agriculture. But there's such a thing as animal husbandry. So, alam mo, papakasalan mo yung animal, hindi ko maintindihan. And then, the word husband here, the etymology actually makes sense. It says here that a husband, in its root, means what? A cultivator of the soil. Or tiller of the soil. You guys remember this picture from last week? The garden? It's a beautiful garden. Look at this one. If something bad happens to the garden, do you blame the driver? Manong driver, bakit sira yung garden natin? That is not the responsibility of the driver. That's the responsibility of the gardener. The Bible says that as husbands, we are supposed to be the one who's going to what? Cultivate the soil. At the end of the day, a bad marriage reflects on the husband. I want you to understand this if you're here and you're a husband. If things are falling apart at home, 99% of it is basically your fault. Laki ng smile ng mga wives, maabot dito. Because at the end of the day, the wives just respond. I haven't met a wife who will submit to someone who loves her unconditionally. Bad marriages are usually the result of the husband's inability to love his wife instead of the wife's refusal to be submissive. Okay, when will you know if you got it wrong? If you're here and you're a husband, you got it wrong when you start demanding submission. Mag-submit ka nga, sabi sa Bible, mag-submit. When you start demanding submission, most likely, you got it wrong. Wives will willingly submit under your loving leadership. I want us to listen carefully. If you're here and you are a husband, I hope you're not someone who lifts your hands here every Sunday and use the same hands to lift it against your wife. I'm not saying that you are. I'm just telling you. I'm praying that there is no violence at home. I'm praying that there's no verbal or physical violence at home. I'll tell you something. God will give you the grace to cultivate the soil very well. That happens if, as a husband, you're willing to submit yourself to the Lord. That your wife might basically submit to you. The word husband that we just looked at there gives us a picture that husband, even as a word, already entails responsibility. That's why if you're here and you're single, you just wave your hand for a while. Not students na lang, single men, those who are working. Very good. All right. If you're here, you're a single man, and you want to get into a season of marriage, make sure you check things out. Because if there's too much selfishness in you, you might really have a hard time making it. Ravi Zacharias in his book, I, Isaac, Take Thee, Rebecca says, one piece of advice, he said, be willing to die to yourself. Then, most likely you're ready to marry. I'm not saying you make your wife or your future wife your Lord. Nope. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm suggesting is, as a husband, you need to learn how to lead them. Lead your family. Lead your wife. You don't have to be a savior. Just lead them. Your kids ask you for provision. How do you lead them? You tell them, you lead them to Christ to ask God for money for their PSP or Pokemon Go or whatever. It's basically as simple as that. Folks, listen. Husbandhood and fatherhood are two things that you cannot delegate. There's no way. Of course, being a husband, you cannot delegate that. It's dangerous. Much more, you know, being a father, you cannot delegate being a father. At the end of the day, it falls on your shoulder. It is your responsibility. You have to lead them physically. In what sense? Lead them physically. Meaning, as a husband, it is your responsibility to provide for your wife. I have some men come up to me and tell me that I'm believing God for a job. Very good. I really commend those kinds of men. But if you're a man, you're a husband, you're a father, and you are bumming around, you're waiting for your wife to provide for you, I tell you what, that is not your God-given role. God will give you the grace to what? To basically have wealth. I hope and pray that as a husband, your wife and your kids do not drag you to church. Daddy, please put na tayo ng church. I hope and pray that you're the one bringing your family to church. To listen to God. Because at the end of the day, you are the cultivator. You will reap all of these things. I know it's a little cute when your three-year-old will start praying for the food. Oh, cute, cute na anak ko. Baby, pray na for the food. In Jesus' name, amen. It looks cute, but I hope you don't do that often. I hope you lead the family to pray, to say grace, to pray for the food. When was the last time your kids and your wife saw you on your knees? Broken before God. That is our responsibility. The word love there is the word agape. That's not just filial kind of love. That's agape. That's a God kind of love. Love your wives. Agape kind of love. What does it mean? Self-sacrificing. Biblical love is a verb, and at the same time, it is a command. Biblical love is a verb and a command. Just one thing for the husband and the wife here this morning. I hope I don't sound like, you know, I'm clobbering you, I'm attacking you. I'm just telling you that, you know, we have God-given roles. This is not guilt-tripping, amen? In fact, this is an appeal for us to stand and fulfill our roles, the roles that God has given us. Here's what I want us to understand. Just two things for the husband and the wife here. Loving leadership for the husband and gracious submission from the wives. Loving leadership and gracious submission. One last thing for the children here. It says, your children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Look at this one, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 to 23. Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Look at this one. For rebellion is as the sin of divination and presumption, is as iniquity and idolatry. What do you get there? You know what God is telling us here? Witchcraft, idolatry is the same, is basically at par with rebellion. What is my point here? My point here is this one. If you're here and you are a parent, you don't want to raise rebellious kids. Because disobedience has its ramifications. Obedience has its blessings. That's why as fathers, you do not also want to exasperate your kids. Like what I said a while ago, you are a daddy. So be a father to them. Don't make an excuse that, you know what, I cannot do that because I grew up in a broken home. Guess what? God is not a substitute father. He is your real father. There are ramifications and there are blessings as well. And remember, Eli, there was also a time when, you know, Eli was a priest and the entire family was serving with God. And his kids did crazy things. You know what? The implication of what his kids did basically affected him. He was rebuked for the attitude of his kids. Because at the end of the day, we are the cultivators. Amen? But it says here, children, hold me here, you are a child. Lahat tayo. Honor your parents regardless of whether they deserve it or not. All of us can do everything that Paul wrote here because Jesus is preeminent in our lives.